All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Yes, we worship you, Jesus. There was a couple of campers that were out camping in the woods. And as they were camping, one of them began to hear some stirring in the brush. And lo and behold, this big old bear starts towards him. And one of the campers saw what was going on, ran over to his gear real quick, kicked off his hiking boots, and started putting on his sneakers. And so the other camper said, "What are you doing? We got to get out of here. You're never going to outrun that bear." And he says, "I don't have to outrun the bear. All I have to do is outrun you." So the pursuit was on, right? The guy's sneakers, he's out ahead. Now the other guy, he's running for all he's got, best he can, but that bear is pursuing. And so he's praying, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, make this a Christian bear. Please make this a Christian bear." And so finally the bear gets him and has him down, pinned to the ground. And then he leans back a little bit. He puts his paws together and he says, "Father, thank you for this meal I'm about to receive." So we see in this story. Now, that's the first time I've ever heard those two jokes put together. How about that? We see in there one who was fleeing, and we see also in there one who was pursuing the bear. Now, were either of them doing that lackadaisically? Just kind of strolling along? No. There was adrenaline rushing on both sides. The fleer and the pursuer. And that's what we want to talk about today, is fleeing and pursuing with that kind of intensity. What is it that sets a super conqueror above the rest? It is their attitude. They know who they are in Christ. They know the promises of the word, and they are going after it with all they have. There are two basic attitudes of fleeing sin and pursuing righteousness that are keys to victory. And that's what we want to talk about today, is fleeing and pursuing. So, first of all, notice the title of that first point on the outline. Fleeing and pursuing, two attitudes, but one action. So as we unfold this, you're going to be beginning to see what I'm talking about here. The word flee there is from a Greek word that means to run away, literally or figuratively, or by implication to shun something, or by analogy to vanish, or can also be translated escape, or to flee away. And there is an intensity that is related to that fleeing. You know, when you're fleeing something, you're not just casually walking away. When that man was running from the bear, he wasn't casually running. He was fleeing. The word flee, most of the time, as we're going to be looking at it today, is translated, it is in grammar a present active indicative, and it means to continue to flee, to flee and keep fleeing. So it's not just a one-time event, it's a lifestyle of fleeing, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that means to flee here in a minute. The second word I want to look at is the word follow, a prolonged and causative form of a primary verb, dio, which means to flee. So interesting, pursue can also mean to flee, or the base of it is to flee. And we're going to see the significance of that in a moment. Compare the base, so we don't need to go into that, to pursue, literally or figuratively, by implication, to persecute. Now, here's an interesting thing about this. This word is translated in the New Testament more as the word persecute than it is to follow after. But by that persecution, you can see the intensity of that verb. Let me read a few scriptures. We're going to look at Paul. Now remember, Paul was a persecutor of the church. Now listen to the intensity. I'm going to read several different verses of his persecution of the church. He was pursuing them. He was following after them very diligently. This is from Acts 22, verse 4. I persecuted this way, talking about the way of Christ, unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. So he was persecuting. He was following hard after them. Acts 26, 11. I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. So look at that. It wasn't just a casual little thing he was doing. I mean, he's in their face trying to get them to... Now, what he was saying here, was compelling them to blaspheme. What he was referring to there now as a Christian, what he was trying to say was, I was trying to get them to renounce Christ, to renounce this way. He wasn't doing it casually, right? There is an intensity there. He's in their face, and he's pushing on them. He's pursuing them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly and mad against them. So now we see that there was just this intense emotion behind it. He was exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even into strange cities. So we see here the intensity of that word to pursue, to follow after, to persecute. It can be translated to ensue. In other words, to start a race, to start running after, to follow after, to give yourself to something, to persecute or to suffer persecution. And it also means to press toward. Especially in the verses we're going to be looking at, it is a present active indicative. The fact that it's present and active also indicates, like the first one, that it is continuous, but notice the word imperative. So it's not just something that we should do, but it is imperative. It is a command, an order that we are to do it. We are to pursue. We are to follow after. And we'll see what that means in a minute. Let's look at how these are paired together in the scripture. It's very common. It may not always use these same words. We're going to look at some other examples, but it always gives the same concept. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. To flee it like that guy was fleeing from the bear. Flee sin. Flee youthful lusts. But follow after. Follow hard after. Persecute righteousness. Be aggressive towards righteousness, towards faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord from a pure heart. 1 Timothy 6:10 through 11. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So we see the same thing here. Flee the sin and follow after righteousness. Follow after what is good. Look at 1 Peter 3:11. Let him eschew disdain evil. It should be, evil should be so nasty to you that you don't want any part of it. Sin should just rile your spirit in an intense way. Eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. There's that word, ensue it, to follow after it. Romans 12, 9. Let love be without dissimulation, which means without hypocrisy. So love sincerely. Abhor that which is evil. Same thing we saw in the previous verse, different word. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So we see the same thing here, to flee and to pursue. Now this is a real important aspect that I want to bring out that the Lord showed me. Remember I mentioned about how the word follow actually comes as its basis, the word to flee. Because in the Christian life, the action of fleeing and the action of following are actually the same action. It's not, I'm going to flee sin here, and the next day, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to flee sin, and Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, I'm going to pursue righteousness, and Sunday is Sunday, I'm going to take that day off. No, that is not the attitude that we should be having. See, the fleeing sin and the pursuit of righteousness are the same action. You can't have one without the other. This is very important. You need to catch this. You can't do one without the other. Now, I spent a lot of my early Christian life having this pattern. I would hear something great from the Word. I think, oh, that is wonderful. I'm going to start doing that. I need to do that. And I would start pursuing it. But after 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, just kind of fizzle out. And then a while later, there'd be something else that would catch my interest. And I would do the same thing. I would start pursuing after it. This is great. I need to do this. And 2, 3 weeks later, fizzle out. Just go back to the same way that I was before. And I saw this pattern over and over and over and over, and it was very discouraging. You know when the change came? When I began to understand righteousness. Because in understanding righteousness, it caused me to hate sin, hate evil. As a result, now I wasn't just pursuing righteousness. Now I was fleeing at the same time I was pursuing. So it is the same action, because I tell you what happens. If you flee, try to flee from sin without pursuing righteousness, without pursuing good, you will be drawn back to sin, because your focus is always on the sin. You're trying to get away from it. You're trying to flee it. It's a focus, and it will draw you back into unrighteousness. It'll draw you back because you're trying to flee it. Your focus is on that. But if all you do is pursue without fleeing, it will become diluted and fade out, which is the problem that I kept having. I would move forward, but then I'd find myself right back where I was, because I wasn't fleeing, I was just pursuing. And there are times, of course, we've done the other. I've done the other. It's like, oh, I got to get this sin out of my life. I got to quit doing this. And so you start focusing on, got to get this. You say your affirmations and you do all this stuff to, and you're focusing so much on trying not to sin that all your focus is on the sin. You know what I'm saying? And the drive and the emotion and the lust behind it keeps driving you towards it. But if you, instead of just fleeing the sin, if you are also pursuing the right thing, your back is towards sin and you are pursuing this. You've got to focus on the pursuit, not on the fleeing. But the fleeing has to be part of it. You've got to flee, but the focus has to be on the pursuit. Go hard after God. Go hard after righteousness. Go hard after the Word of God. Just like that bear was pursuing. Just like Paul was persecuting the church. He was angry. He was mad. He had emotion and intensity behind his pursuing. And we need to have that same emotion and intensity behind our pursuing righteousness, pursuing the good things. It keeps us from focusing on what we don't want to be doing, and it keeps us focusing on what we need to be doing. So again, if you flee without pursuing, it will only draw you back because your focus is on that. If you pursue without the fleeing, it's going to become diluted and will fade out because you're not really focusing on this because you keep getting drawn back to the sin that you're not fleeing from. And then keep your focus on the pursuit, not on the fleeing. Important things to understand. So now let's look at what the Word says about fleeing. Notice here, I'm just going to read down this list real quick. Flee youthful lusts. Flee fornication. Flee idolatry. Flee the love of money. Flee from strangers with strange voices. There's talking about there when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And everyone who hears the voice of the shepherd will follow him. But he who hears the voice of a stranger, he will not follow. He will flee from them. Same word. And then F, flee from the works of the flesh. So these, you can see here, it is a fleeing action. Notice it doesn't say resist. Doesn't say resist idolatry. It doesn't say resist the love of money. It says flee from it. Flee from it. Too many Christians get caught up as I'm getting stronger now. I can face this temptation. No, the scripture says flee the temptation. Flee the temptation. James chapter 1, not on your outline here, but I want us to look at it. James chapter 1 talks about some of the challenges with this. Look at this. Blessed is the man, and I'm starting in verse 12 of James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised unto them that love him. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my brethren. That's an important part of this passage. Do not err. When we are tempted, it's not a temptation of God. It's not a challenge of God. It's not, well, God's testing me to see if I can stand up to it now. No, when temptation comes, see, here's where the challenge is, and we can see it here in the scripture. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. This is a picture of someone who is not fleeing. They're trying to stand up to it. Instead, they're trying to grab control of it. It says we are to flee it, to run away, to stay away from it. Attitudes for fleeing. To hate sin. In Psalm 101, I love this attitude of David towards sin. Psalm 101, starting in verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, you know, turn aside from righteousness. It shall not cleave to me. So we are to hate sin, hate evil. It needs to be an attitude of our heart. Proverbs 8:13 tells us, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and the evil way, which would be sin, the action of evil. Romans 13:12 says, for the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So we cast off the works of darkness. That is a way of saying that they're hating it. Plus, it's also a way of saying to flee from it. We are to hate evil. Psalm 97, verse 10 says, you that love the Lord, hate evil. Amos 5:15 says, seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord your God, the Lord of hosts, shall be with you as I have spoken. Seek good and not evil. And he goes on in verse 15, hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. And then a scripture we've already seen in 1 Peter 3:11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it or pursue it. So we are to be disgusted with evil, to hate evil. These are attitudes of fleeing. It's attitudes that give motivation to flee. Develop the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. So we need to have a reverence for God that pulls us away from sin. We are to desire righteousness. The way that I picture it is like this. Righteousness is like that pristine lake in the mountains. You've seen it before. You've probably, if you're on vacation, you've seen pictures of this lake that looks like glass. I know I've sat in front of a couple of those lakes early in the morning. The sun's just coming up over the hill. You can see the reflection of the mountains and the sky, lightning in the background, reflection off the lake, and it is just perfectly still. And then something happens. A bug lights on the water. Can hardly see the ripple of it, but then all of a sudden, pow! Ooh, the fish are biting. But what happens is when that fish comes out of the water, it disturbs the lake, right? Or when you cast in your line and it hits the water, it sends out now all these ripples. And that to me is like righteousness. Righteousness is that smooth lake. And sin, evil, unrighteousness is like something being thrown in that lake. Something being tossed in. It disturbs it. In our conscience, in our hearts, should be this pristine lake of righteousness that is so in love with Jesus that it doesn't want that to be disturbed. So anytime something begins to disturb it, you're just immediately, your spirit just rebels against it. I hate that evil. I love that lake. I love the goodness of that lake of righteousness. I love the peace and the purity that comes from that lake of righteousness. So really, in our fleeing, we need to have an attitude of fleeing, hating sin, hating evil, hating unrighteousness. But there needs to be such a draw towards that righteousness, towards that peace. And so when that disturbance comes, when we say something we shouldn't have said, when we do something we shouldn't have done, and it disturbs that, we desire that lake to become smooth again, and we will do everything that we need to do. We apologize for what we've done. We seek restitution. We go before the Lord and we repent of our sins, because when we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, He smooths out the lake. He smooths out the lake. The problem is we become so used to a disturbed lake. We get so used to the frustrations and the fears and the anxieties and the worries that if it's, you know, if the lake's just shimmering a little bit, we get kind of used to it. Some of us have been used to so much turmoil in that lake that we're just so used to it. It's a sign of our conscience being tainted, being seared, our conscience being diluted and corrupted. We need to seek that place of righteousness, that place where that lake is smooth as glass. And where any disturbance, it's easily recognizable. From the little mosquito that lights on the lake and causes just a little shimmer to the big boulder that gets tossed in there. So we should always be seeking and pursuing righteousness, desiring righteousness. Jesus said, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Jesus said also to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that we are to live in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. See, in those scriptures, you can see you can feel that peace. You can feel that lake that is smooth by words like righteousness, peace, joy, purity. I mean, those words conjure up just such wonderful feelings of peace and joy and wonderful feelings of just being able to rest in that place. It really is a place of rest. Desire purity. Desire goodness. In James chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17. The verses before that talk about the wisdom that is from below, that is full of envying and strife and confusion and every evil work. It's demonic. But then in verse 17, he says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable, and then easily entreated, without hypocrisy, without favoritism. So that is, again, that lake, that smooth lake of righteousness. We are to desire goodness. Jesus says in Matthew 12 that a good man out of the good fruit of his heart bringeth forth goodness. Goodness. One of the fruit of the Spirit. So how do we flee? For one thing, God has provided a way of escape. You know, we've all seen movies where, you know, the good guy somehow gets trapped in some situation, and what happens when he finds a way of escape? What does he do? He flees. Right? When you find the way of escape from temptation, flee. It says that God, or that it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that all temptation is common to man, but God will give a way of escape that you may be able to bear it, a way to flee from it. So look for the way to flee. There are very practical ways to do that. One illustration I like to use is this. A man was walking down the street. Anybody hear this one before? And there's a hole in the sidewalk. So he falls in the hole. He's blaming others. It takes him a while to get out. There's a man walking down the street. There's a hole in the sidewalk. He falls into the hole. He blames others for the hole. It takes him a long time to get out. There's a man walking down the street. There's a hole in the sidewalk. He falls into the hole. He realizes that it's his own fault. He takes responsibility for it, and he gets out rather quickly. There's a man walking down the street. There's a hole in the sidewalk. Now he steps around the hole, because he's learning what it is. He's beginning to flee. There's a man walking down the street. No, he decides to take another street because he knows what's down there. See, that is a way of fleeing. You can look at the temptations and the situations in your life, and what does the Lord say? Flee from those things. Don't keep trying to stand up to them. Don't keep trying to overcome them with your will and your force. Flee and then pursue. Flee and pursue. Resist the devil. That resisting is an internal thing. That is what basically the attitude of fleeing that we were talking about. Hating sin and desiring righteousness. Resist the devil. It's an internal act that when situations come towards us, it's like, no, I'm not going to even go there. And we turn around and flee. Romans 13, 14 tells us to give no opportunity to the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So we don't put ourselves in a situation where we can get tempted. Now, that doesn't mean that temptations won't come. From time to time, you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden they say something that offends you. So you have a choice with that offense in front of you. Now, you didn't ask for it. You weren't trying to stay away from that person. Not that you should, but you weren't trying to stay away from that person so you wouldn't get offended. It just happened. So now you have a choice. Am I going to flee that temptation to take offense, or am I going to give in to it? I suggest fleeing. Our words and our actions also help us to flee. Affirmations such as, I reckon myself dead to sin, but alive unto God and living unto righteousness. And then I like to add, I just did, huh? Living under righteousness. I just do it automatically now. Living under God and living under righteousness. Actions. Going on where I was just quoting from in Romans chapter 6, he goes on and he says, yield not your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so, it's the act of yielding. We stop yielding to unrighteousness. That's the fleeing part. And we yield to what God is doing. That's the pursuing part, to what God wants us to do. Remember, it's all one action. Okay, let's talk about following after, pursuing. What to pursue? And we want to, again, pursue these things with gusto. Pursue these things with intensity. In Romans 14, 19, we are told to follow after those things which make for peace and for the edification of others. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, this is now the third time we've looked at this verse, says, to let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and pursue it, ensue it. Ensue the race. The race is on, right? When the opening at the opening ceremonies or the Olympics, has those actually happened yet? Yes. Okay. You know, and then at the end of that, they say, "Let the games begin." Right? I don't know if they did that this time, but that's usually what they've done. Let the games begin. So the pursuit is on. Pursue those things which makes for peace and for edifying others. Follow after, pursue love. Now, these scriptures all have that word in there. Follow after love. The benefit of others. Doing things, actions and words that help to benefit and edify others. Love. Follow after love. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow after charity, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, if you recognize 1 Corinthians 14, you realize that it came right after 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter. So you want to know how to pursue or follow after love? Look at 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. Actually, you can start in verse 1. But verse 4 says that love is patient and kind. And it goes on and on about the attributes of love. So you could even put them in there. Follow after patience with others. Follow after not lifting yourself up above others. These are all things that are in 1 Corinthians 13. So follow after charity. Verse 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says, but thou, O man, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love is in there, patience and meekness. Now we're going to be, of course, looking at those verses more specifically in a minute. In Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, says, not as though I have already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. There's that word. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended. Brethren, I count not myself as apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now that gives you a perfect picture of focusing on the pursuing, not on what you're fleeing from. So we forget the past. We put the past behind us, forgetting those things which are behind. Verse 14, I press toward the mark. The same word. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pursuing these things. 2 Timothy 2:22, we've seen this verse already. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, which is love, and peace. So we see these things alliterated there in 1 Timothy 6:11 and 2 Timothy 2:22. Follow after godliness, follow after faith, follow after patience, follow after meekness. These are all qualities and attributes that we should be following after. Attitudes of pursuing. We've already seen some of those attitudes in the intensity in which Paul persecuted the Christians, persecuted the church. So in our attitudes of pursuing, there needs to be an ardent zeal and intense effort. That comes from Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 in the Amplified. From the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Ardent zeal and intense exertion for the things of the kingdom of God, righteousness, joy, peace, all the power, the love, and all of that. That is part of the kingdom of God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that we are to diligently seek him, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Another attitude of pursuing is to focus on the present, forget the past, and consecrate the future. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus says this, "Take therefore no thought of the morrow." So what he's talking about there, that phrase there, no thought, is found many times in that particular passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6. It's taking no thought about what you eat, no thought about the clothes that you have. The Gentiles take thought of these things, but we're not to do that. What it means there is worry, be focused on, be concerned about. So it says, take no thought of the morrow. In other words, don't be focused, don't be worrying about what tomorrow's going to bring. So in other words, consecrate. Put that in God's hands. Consecrate the future. He goes on to say, for the morrow shall take thought. The morrow's going to worry about itself. The morrow's going to take care of itself, of the things of itself. And the end of that verse says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, what you're dealing with today, focus on that. On fleeing and pursuing whatever that challenges that may be in your life that day. So focus on that. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan for the future. It doesn't mean we should think about what we want to accomplish in the future. What he's saying there is take no thought. Don't be worrying about it. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be focusing on it that would cause fear. In other words, cause sin. Don't focus on that. That part of it will take care of itself. What we need to do is focus on today. As you continue to focus on today and focus on overcoming the challenges of today, your today will grow into tomorrow, and you do the same thing. And that day will then grow into the next tomorrow, and you focus on the same thing. And your future will be secured because you are learn to overcome the challenges of the day. That will give you what you need to be able to overcome the challenges of tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day as you focus on each day. Notice here, it doesn't even talk about the past. We already looked at that, forgetting those things that lie behind. Because if you bring up the past, it just brings up regret. If you're focusing especially on the negative things, it's going to bring up regret. It's going to bring up condemnation, sorrow about what happened or didn't happen. Now, we can bring from the past the good things that God has done because they become anchors to our soul. But don't focus on the negative things of the past. All your sins have been forgiven. Everything that you have done, he said in Hebrews, that he has forgotten it. He has forgotten it. So don't focus on the past. Focus on the present, forget the past, and consecrate the future. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek the kingdom of God, to ardently go after it, like we've been talking about. How do you pursue? Submit to God. We already looked at this verse a few minutes ago. Resist the devil in terms of how do you flee? Resist the devil. How do you pursue? Submit to God. Because I tell you this, if you are submitting to God, That is a way of focusing on the future. Because you're submitting to what God wants you to do, you're not focused on what the evil one is trying to get you to do. You're submitting yourself to God, and you're moving forward. Pursue with others, other pursuers. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says that we are to follow after, pursue righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. In 1 Corinthians 15, I don't remember the exact verse, but it talks in there that if we, well, let me look it up real quick. I know exactly where it is. It's right here on this side of the page. Here it is. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So evil, and when it says there communications, it's talking about a lifestyle. It can be talking about words, but part of it is talking about a lifestyle. Evil, an evil lifestyle will corrupt good manners. So we need to pursue with other pursuers. If you are trying to pursue God, but you are hanging around others that are not pursuing God, others that have a lifestyle that is not that way, pursuing other things, then it's going to be hard for you to pursue. But if you're pursuing with other pursuers, they encourage you, they help you, they help you to keep focused. So pursue with other pursuers, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We also need to set our minds on things that are above. Again, focus. What is our focus in pursuing? Focus those things that are above. Verse 2 of Colossians 3, set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth, for you are dead. We're dead to the old life. We're dead to the old man. And your life is hid in Christ. Our life should be consumed with Him, with Christ, with seeking Him. And since we're talking about with Christ, let me refer you back to Pastor's sermon on Friday. If you weren't here and didn't hear that, you need to go online and listen to that this week about being with Christ and in Christ. And then we need to live in the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So stay in the kingdom. And we know that from many things that we've been taught, that you stay in the kingdom by watching your three thermostats. Your thermostats of peace and joy and patience. And if any of those begin to get challenged, begin to realize that you're moving out, have moved out, or moving out of the kingdom of God. So then you need to stop, repent of your sins, confess your sins, turn back to God, and reestablish yourself in the kingdom. And then also by our words and our actions, we are pursuing God. Words that are going after the things of the Lord, and actions that are following suit, going after the things of the Lord. So let me go back to one of the main points that I made. If you flee without pursuing, you'll just be drawn back to whatever it is you were fleeing from. And if you pursue without fleeing, it will become diluted and you need to fade out. It will cause you to fade out from your pursuing. So we need to focus on the pursuit and not on the fleeing. And remember, the fleeing and the pursuit are really the same action. The same effort it takes to flee and to pursue is one and the same. And so you flee the youthful lust, you flee the sins from the past, you flee the sins that are harassing you, and you focus on pursuing God. Let your pursuit be the focus. These are important keys to our victory in these last days. That we are more than conquerors, and we conquer as we flee and as we pursue, and particularly as we focus on the pursuing. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.